All right, so an important part of any nitrogen management system is going to be to first assess the status of the nitrogen in the soil, and we also looked at phosphorus. So my study is about resin capsules, and for those of you who aren't familiar with resin capsules, basically there are resin beads which are charged with counter ions like hydrogen and hydroxide ions, specifically that we use in our experiment. Some others use sodium and bicarbonate and there are other combinations. But these counter ions exchange in soil solution with other ions, and the resin capsule acts as a sink. So they are usually buried for a period of time, and then afterwards they can be retrieved and the nutrients can be evaluated from them. And they are spherical in shape and about 2 centimeters in diameter. So the idea is that they attempt to mimic the way that a plant root works, though of course they won't be able to completely recreate all the root environment. But one thing they mimic is ion exchange, which I was explaining earlier. So hydrogen and hydroxide ions will be released from the resin capsule, and it can take up cations like calcium, potassium, ammonium, and also anions like phosphate. All right, so some advantages are that nutrients can be extracted simultaneously. So it's a universal extractant, which can save time and money. And also, it can be more consistent over a wide range of soil types, in contrast to some types of soil testing, like phosphorus, where in different parts of the country we have different soil tests. Another thing is that it can minimize disturbance to the soil, unlike taking soil samples. Although I have to say from personal experience, if you have trouble getting the resin capsule out of the soil, that it can actually cause more disturbance. So if you had a good system in place, you'd be able to cause less disturbance to the soil. And the soil solution is a major vector of contact between the resin capsule and the soil. So they might not be very accurate in dry soils. And recently they've become more popular in people using them for native landscape monitoring. So we had started, there was a previous study at BYU that looked at how well resin capsules work in native ecosystems, and they found that the nitrogen, they were able to relate, they had applied nitrogen, and they had been able to relate that to resin capsule nitrogen, but resin capsule nitrogen was not related. And we hypothesized that perhaps that was because of the placement depth that we had originally used was too deep, and phosphorus is not very mobile in the soil. So we decided to set up another experiment where we used different depths to see which would be best. So our objective was to determine if depth of placement could better estimate nitrogen and phosphorus in these low fertility, semi-arid native soils. So this is how we set up our experiment. We had 2 sites, and both were in western Utah, in Rush Valley and Skull Valley. And the thing to focus on from this chart is the soils were loam and sandy loam, and also they're alkaline calcareous soils that we used. And the precipitation in these 2 areas classifies them as semi-arid. So we applied ammonium sulfate and triple superphosphate to the soils. It was just to the surface with light raking, so it didn't get incorporated very deep. And we did 5 replications of each of the treatments, which were a control and then increasing values of kilograms per hectare of nitrogen and phosphorus. And let's see. We divided each site into plots that were 2 meters by 2 meters, and within each plot we did 3 resin capsules at depths of 5 centimeters, 10 centimeters, and 15 centimeters deep in the soil. And we attached a plastic string. You can see from the picture there's a little plastic tape that's sticking out of the soil, and they were color-coded depending on depth to make it easier for us to find the resin capsules after. So we buried the resin capsules for 90 days. They were in from June to September 2010. And then in September, we removed those capsules, put more in, and those stayed in the soil until May of the next year. And then every time that we removed resin capsules or put them in, we took soil samples. And when we took the resin capsules back to the lab, what you do is rinse out all the excess soil with deionized water. Then we'll do a sequential extraction with 20 milliliters of 2 molar hydrogen chloride HCl. And the elements were determined using flow injection analysis for nitrogen, ammonium, and nitrate. And we used ICP optical emission spectroscopy for phosphorus determination. And the soil samples, we tested for phosphorus with Olsen bicarbonate method. And for nitrogen, nitrate, and ammonium, we did a 2 molar KCl extraction with flow injection analysis. So let me first explain how this is set up. On the top is resin capsule values, and the bottom row represents the soil test, so KCl extracted. And the box that's labeled A is the resin capsules that were buried from June to September, and then next to it is September to May. So underneath on the soils we have June, September, and May. And so those represent the amount in the soil when the resin capsules were placed or when they're taken out. So one thing that we found that was really interesting for ammonium was that there's clearly a curvilinear relationship. We decided to use all linear relationships just to be consistent with our other findings that you'll see later, but we did find it interesting, and we think that perhaps there's, you know, ammonium usually stays about pretty constant in the soil, and it was only at that top treatment, the 88 kilograms of nitrogen applied, that we really saw a huge difference in the amount in the soil, and that was represented in resin capsule and also the soil test. Another thing is that if you look at the part B, the middle depth, the correlation coefficient was 0.88, and that was significant. And so the resin capsules had a significant correlation to N applied a year after application, while the soil test KCl, ammonium nitrogen, was not significant. So in that way, it did improve upon it, although they were, you know, buried in the soil over the winter. And let's see. Oh, and so also that middle depth consistently for both times for ammonium was the best placement for resin capsules. Okay, so here's the nitrate results, and you can see that these ones are clearly linear. And one thing that first jumped out to me that I thought was interesting is that there's a huge increase in nitrate, resin nitrate, if you look at like between box A and B. And we think probably we applied the nitrogen as ammonium, so probably over the winter it converted through nitrification to get nitrate, and we can see that. And it's interesting that the resin capsule nitrate at that last time shows significant differences between rates applied, but by the end the soil test didn't pick up the nitrate. And there was another study done by Pompolito and others in 2000 where they found that resin capsules worked really well for nitrate leaching measurements. And it looks like from here that the resin capsules were able to pick up the nitrate as it moved down the soil profile. And also, if you notice on the resin capsules, each line represents a depth. They're all very close together. And depth was not as important of a factor. And we hypothesize that's because nitrate is very mobile in the soil. Okay, so these results are for phosphorus. And for the first burial period, which was June to September, and it's box A, none of the depths were significantly correlated to phosphorus applied. And which was similar to what the other study had found, that the resin capsule phosphorus was not related to P applied. But what's interesting is for the resin capsules that were buried from September to May, there's actually significant relationships with an R-squared of 0.82 for the surface depth and 0.92 for the middle depth. So it was significantly correlated. And going back to the precipitation distribution, you can see that from September to May, there was a lot more precipitation than the earlier time. And we think that soil moisture is important for phosphorus to be to be able to move to the resin capsule. So, and also you can tell from the soil test at the bottom that the surface depth clearly had more phosphorus than the others. So the phosphorus is right there on the surface, and the only depths that we got significant relationships with phosphorus were in the top two surface depths. So we suggest that if using resin capsules to monitor phosphorus, especially in native environments, that it's really important to monitor the moisture status of the soil because it has a huge impact. And in conclusion, the resin capsule ammonium and nitrate nitrogen did improve on soil test estimates. Placement depth wasn't important for nitrate, but it was important for ammonium, and the middle depth, which was 5 to 10 centimeters, we did find to be the best place. And that phosphorus diffusion is highly dependent on soil moisture. And so we would like to see more research to study about moisture relations with nutrient diffusion to resin capsules, especially in native ecosystems where they're being used to monitor these nutrients. And with that, I'll take any questions that you guys have.
Anyone have any questions?
Yes.
What about the difference between the two sites?
The difference between the two sites? So, let's see. They were pretty close together in location, but the main difference was the texture of the soil. One was a sandy loam and one was a loam. But when we actually did the statistics, we averaged the sites together, and there weren't huge differences between the sites as far as the resin capsules. So it's being consistent over soil types that didn't seem to come out.
Any other questions?
Yeah.
Back in your physical distribution, show the picture with two colors, or am I the three colors in the spring?
Yeah.
How many times did you replicate that?
There were five replications.
Five replications. So, again, as we take a look at soil sampling in general, if you're talking about taking samples, we at least want to get up to 15.
Mm-hmm.
Is that problematic here, or did it feel necessary, or how do you pull back five? Versus comparing that to a composite sample that might represent a given area.
Right, that's a good point. Resin capsules, like the amount of soil that actually contributes to the nutrient that goes to the resin capsule is unknown, and it probably would have helped with variation if we had had more replicates in our study. Hope I didn't hit anything. But we did, I mean, we didn't have a lot of variants. Our five were typically pretty close together, so. Yes?
Just to redirect on the volume that's impacted.
Yeah.
There's some really great work done by my good friend Jay Yang, who was at Montana State in 1996. So, Journal of the JU. That's about 7 millimeters or so is the zone of influence for nitrate. The phosphate is absolutely a fraction.
Yeah, that's interesting. Thanks.
Any other questions?
that I have seen was solid, has a high pH. We do high concentration of calcium, sorry. So that also affect on your resin solution concentration. So how about the effects on the resin solution of the high concentration of calcium and the high pH? So.
Sorry, can you repeat that? I can't hear you up here. Okay, here.
I think his question was, what's the effect of the high pH on the solution concentrations of some of the elements like calcium and phosphorus?
Okay, so yeah, at high pH, phosphorus is going to be less available. It will react with calcium and become insoluble. So that could be a factor definitely affecting phosphorus. As far as nitrogen, it will be... I mean, it will be more available closer to neutral, but it's less effective than phosphorus. So.
Okay, I think that uses up all the time we have for questions, so congratulations on that, Rachel.